Free speech is becoming quite expensive in this country, especially as it relates to our political campaigns. The big story so far for the 2012 election season is the power of the super PACs. These new political entities are significantly altering the environment of campaign processes and political messaging. Partially as a result of the Supreme Court's ruling in Citizens United and a subsequent federal court ruling in SpeechNow.org versus the FEC, these super PACs have emerged as a new type of organization that can raise unlimited sums of money from corporations, unions, associations, and individuals. These funds can then be used to pay for political advertisements that explicitly call for the election or defeat of federal and state candidates. As of the first week of July, 657 groups have registered as super PACs, with receipts totaling over $240 million, and the numbers get larger every day. The only major restrictions placed on these super PACs are that they cannot make direct contributions to political candidates or parties, and they are not to coordinate their activities with these candidates or parties. Even though super PACs are supposed to be legally independent from candidates, the lines to be drawn are still quite fuzzy, and the degree to which they are functional extensions of candidates' campaigns in practice is of significant concern. For example, candidates have been featured guest speakers at fundraising events for these super PACs, and many former candidate aides are now founders and heads of super PACs seeking to elect their former boss. Even President Obama, who expressed his opposition to the Citizens United ruling and initially sought to discourage his supporters from contributing to super PACs, has reversed his position on these political contributions to try to keep pace with the amount of money flooding into the campaign process. Advocates of super PACs argue that they provide a powerful outlet for political speech. They argue that these super PACs can help create a more robust democracy by better enabling a collective voice for small-dollar donors. However, what the statistics thus far show is that most are getting their money from the extremely large donations of a wealthy few. The reality is that a relatively small number of people now have the ability to exert substantial influence on our political process. At the start of 2012, 59 donors had given $500,000 or more to a super PAC. 41 of those donors were individual millionaires and billionaires. The rise of the super PACs also seems to be benefiting one political party more than the others. Right now, more than 80% of the money raised has gone to pro-GOP groups. And according to the Center for Responsive Politics, 80% of the money raised by these groups has come from just 100 individuals. For example, Las Vegas casino owner Sheldon Adelson has said he might be willing to spend as much as $100 million to support the election of Mitt Romney. It is clear that Adelson believes money equals influence, and he is prepared to spend as much as half of 1% of his wealth to achieve that influence. By comparison, if the typical American family contributed the same percentage of their net worth, the check would total $360. If money equals speech and influence, then most of us are at a significant disadvantage in this process. If we equate political spending with free speech, whose voice is actually privileged in this process? And whose interest is ultimately served? And just how free is our political speech? This new world of super PACs could become very costly to our democracy, indeed. For The Moral Is, this is Diane Blair.